world was warned about the events of 9/11 and even Hurricane Katrina, but policymakers ignored those warnings. This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton talks with a national security expert who has worked for four different U.S. presidents. That discussion starts now.
Hello again, and thanks for listening. There's a fine line between crying wolf and being heeded. But why? Especially if your prediction is based on data, scientific method, and expertise. Before the attacks in New York on 9/11, a few analysts predicted it would happen, and nothing was done. Before Hurricane Katrina broke the levees of New Orleans and flooded huge swaths of that city, someone predicted that disaster too. And by the way, that man was fired for just making his prediction public. Now, in Greek mythology, Cassandra forever saw calamities, but was cursed by the gods to be ignored. So why does the myth persist in present day, our supposedly fact-based civilization? Author Richard Clark has highlighted 14 possible Cassandra warnings that he and his co-author think are worth listening to. Mr. Clark is not just an author, of course. He's a national security expert with more than 30 years experience in the field. He's worked for four presidents. And for him, the greatest threat right now to our national security and sovereignty is sea level rise. So much for the Paris Accord. Here's my conversation with Mr. Clark about that and a whole lot more.
Dick Clark, Richard A. Clark.
Mr. Clark, among your long list of impressive bona fides, of course, was your other book, Against All Enemies, and had to deal with 9/11. And I'm wondering, this new book you have, Warnings, Finding Cassandras to Stop Catastrophes, is the climate right for this book to be received right now? Maybe politically, maybe intellectually, and maybe on a security note.
Well, I certainly hope so. What we're doing with the book is looking at 14 real people. This is a book that has 14 stories in it, and real people in a variety of different fields of endeavor, everything from computer science to intelligence to biology to astronomy to economics. 14 real people, all of whom were outliers who saw something coming before other people did, warned about it, and their warnings went unheeded. And so we're asking, is there something that we can do that we can identify the real people who are making really accurate future predictions about disasters? How can we pick them out of the noise? And how can we learn which are the potential disasters we need to act on now?
You know, that's, to me, the best value of this book is its appeal to anybody and everybody who had to go through 9/11, who has to live through this world we're in right now where a lot of insecurity is happening. So this book is not necessarily written for, let's say, high-ranking officials in the State Department. It's written for people like me who are kind of driving by this with a bit of concern but want more knowledge. So what else can we do to make sure that we're kind of seeing the warnings that you're putting in this book? I mean, you found them first, and now we have to get it out there. I understand you're on a book tour and everything else, but are there other things we could do on a social level, on a human level?
We have seven case studies of seven people we know were Cassandras because their warnings were ignored and the disaster happened. And now we've got seven people who are making predictions, and they may be right, but their disaster hasn't happened yet. So one of the things we can all do is try to find people like this. We actually have a website where if you think you know of a potential Cassandra, somebody who is predicting a disaster, who is an expert in their field, but is being ignored, write us at warningsbook.net and tell us who that person is, and we will try to get them the publicity they need.
Part of my research for this was watching some of your appearances on the Bill Maher show, and I have to say it's you're not in the blame game. I understand that. But a lot of that show and a lot of your interviews have had to be reactionary, of course, because you called 9/11. It happened and nobody dealt with it beforehand. This book's very proactive, as you just mentioned. It's actually opt-in on the website. If you do see another 9/11 coming this way and nobody reacts to it, where can we place some blame? Should we have learned this lesson already? I mean, I guess my really backwards-ass way of asking this question is, are you upset a little bit that you had to write another book like this?
Well, no, I think we really have discovered a phenomenon which I didn't know existed until we did the research for this. We had a hunch that this was a phenomenon, that almost every major disaster has a Cassandra. When you do the after-action investigation and you go back and you look, were there warning signs that were missed? There almost always were. And so we thought, wow, if that's true, let's figure out a way of catching those warning signs in whatever industry, whatever field of endeavor, before the problem emerges. And if we can do that, we can make the world a better place.
Okay, so if I'm reading the Economist next week and I see a quote buried in the bottom of a story, but I think it's something of import, something that could be called out, is that something that I could bring to your attention via the website?
Absolutely. And what we do is we have a formula in the book. It's a simple formula that we apply to these potential Cassandras, and we make a judgment on, you know, are these people experts? Are they data-driven? Is there any vested interest that they have in saying it? Hmm. What's wrong with the decision-maker? Why are the decision-makers ignoring them? What is it about the nature of the issue that makes it difficult for people to accept? It's a whole series of questions, and we apply that, and we make a judgment in the book about whether or not these people are likely to be right.
Mr. Clark, I don't normally rely on pre-press, but there is a very good question in the press package that was sent out for you, and that is, how do we know which warnings are likely to be right? And it sounds like you may have just started to answer that question with your formula for the website.
Yeah, well, I think it's, first of all, we have to ask ourselves, is the person an expert? Does the person have data that supports it? It's so freaky talking to these people in different fields of endeavor, and they all said the same thing to us. They all said, I want to be wrong. Please prove me wrong. Look at my data. Here's my data. It's open for peer review. Tell me what's wrong with the data.
Towards the top of the interview, I mentioned the climate right now in the country, and data doesn't seem to be driving a lot of argument right now, and sometimes data is quickly disassembled and not just ignored, frankly, with other facts, alternate facts. Are you finding that to be a headwind for this book and for your warnings?
Well, it's a problem because not only are people ignoring facts, they're also making them up. We have a whole series of issues, problems, that really don't exist. People just assert that there's a problem. You know, they assert that 3 million illegal immigrants voted in the presidential election without any data whatsoever, no proof at all. And they begin with the problem. You know, they invent the problem rather than beginning with the evidence.
In your 30 years as a security expert, are you finding this, particularly for you, a challenge right now, just period, getting your voice heard and getting these stories out?
Well, I think we've never really been in this atmosphere as a country before, where we have this sort of blinders on for scientific fact, and where we're discrediting scientists and experts, where we're cutting the budgets for scientists in healthcare research, in space research, and in climate research. We're cutting the budgets of people who are really likely to be the Cassandras, likely to see things coming in time, but only if we fund them, only if they do the research.
Mr. Clark, I probably missed a whole bunch, but I know I have limited time. Is there something you wanted to talk about that I did not touch on yet?
Well, sea level rise is probably the one that's the most scary among the seven people that we look at who are making predictions today, because Dr. James Hansen is the Cassandra on sea level rise, and he's an outlier. All the other experts say it's going to be gradual. He says it's going to be rapid and much higher than other people. And if he's right, we have to start making preparations now.
And there was an example in the book, too, of course, about Hurricane Katrina. I mean, that Cassandra was also ignored, and then we had to live through all of that, too.
Well, he was fired for making the prediction. He predicted that the dams and the dikes around New Orleans were poorly designed, and in a major hurricane, the city would flood. And for making that prediction, which later proved to be right, he was fired.
You spent some time dissecting, or I think you said post-action research on Osama bin Laden. And I know one of the shows I saw you on was with Harry Shearer. I'm a huge fan of his as well. And he's been on this show. And his movie, The Big Easy, is wonderful about Hurricane Katrina, unfortunately too accurate, but also about really the Army Corps of Engineers. And I'm wondering, when you're on those kind of panels, are you finding that you have a very straightforward way of speaking? You have a lot of data. You have a lot of knowledge and institutional knowledge at that. Are you being highlighted more now these days in this atmosphere that we've discussed earlier?
Last panel I was on that reviewed a disaster. President Obama appointed me to a commission to look at the Snowden, Edward Snowden problem, what happened at NSA. And unfortunately, we said, this is going to happen again unless you improve security at NSA. And obviously they didn't, because what has happened is NSA attack tools have been stolen and have been used by malicious hackers to demand ransom from people rather recently, including hospitals and places all over the world. So, yeah, it continues to happen that after-action reports sometimes give us lessons learned and we don't apply them.
Mr. Clark, thank you so much for your time this morning. A massive amount of respect for what you've been doing and much appreciated.
Thank you.
That was Richard Clark. He's a co-author on the new book titled Warnings, Finding Cassandras to Stop Catastrophes. Mr. Clark is also a national security expert, of course, and has 30 years experience in the field. Warnings paints a vivid picture of potential disasters and how leaders can better make crucial decisions about them if only they'll listen. For more, check out KGORadio.com/techonomics and look for the article that goes with this week's show and podcast. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics.